إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار، أما بعد. إخوتي وأخواتي في الله، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن شاء الله we looking at another topic from the book بلوغ المرام by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani. باب النفقات. The chapter of النفقات. النفقه، this means spending or maintenance. To spend on somebody or to maintain somebody, this is نفقه. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it in the Quran, Allah says, فَإِن كُنَّ أُولَاتِ حَمْلٍ فَأَنْفِقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ حَتَّى يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. And if they are pregnant, فَأَنْفِقُوا عَلَيْهِنَّ, spend on them, maintain them, حَتَّى يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ, until they deliver their load. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لينفق ذو سعة من سعته. The one who has much should spend from his wealth. The one who has much should spend from his wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لينفق ذو سعة من سعته. فمن قدر عليه رزقه فلينفق مما أعطى الله. So whoever has little should also spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. The word infaq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses it in many places in the Quran. And this means spending. Likewise, maintenance. So the author says here, Bab al-Nafaqat, the chapter of maintenance, that is how to maintain people, spending on people. The ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam available on such a word of author I'll try to bring in this chapter. عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت فما عائشة من الله بسيبها شتاج دخلت هند بنت عتبة امرأة أبي سفيان على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقالت هند the daughter of عتبة who happened to be the wife of Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhuma, entered upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فقالت, and she said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, Inna Abu Sufyan rajul shaheen. Abu Sufyan is a stingy person. لا يعطيني من النفقة ما يكفيني ويكفي بنيا. He doesn't give me of maintenance what is sufficient for me and my children. لا يعطيني من النفقة. He does not give me of maintenance ما يكفيني ويكفي بنية. What is enough for me and my children? إلا ما أخذت من ماله بغير علمي. Unless what I take in addition to what he has given to me of his wealth, بغير علمه, without his knowledge. فهل علي ذلك من جناع؟ Is there anything upon me for doing that? فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, if that is the case, خذي من ماله بالمعروف ما يكفيك ويكفي بنيك. Take from his wealth بالمعروف that he is customary ما يكفيك ويكفي بنيك. What will be okay for you considering your custom, considering your culture, that you don't take more than that. Take what will be enough for you and your children, بالمعروف, that he is in a handsome way according to the custom. Don't take more than that. Now this is the first hadith that the author recorded in this book concerning maintenance. Aisha radiallahu anha reported this. Hint bintu Abi Sufyan, Hint bintu Utbah, the daughter of Utbah, the wife of Abu Sufyan, was the one that went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained about Abu Sufyan and Utbah. Now Hint a companion, Abu Sufyan also a companion. Hint embraced Islam after a husband, Abu Sufyan. Abu Sufyan embraced Islam first. Hint, according to one of the narrations, said there was nobody more hateful to him than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But later, when she embraced Islam, there was nobody that she loved more than the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But her embracing of Islam came after that of her husband, Abu Sufyan. Now one of the complaints that she lodged against her husband, who was Abu Sufyan, was that Abu Sufyan is Rajul Shaheed. A Shaheed in the Arabic language is somebody who is stingy or miserly. He does not want to remain what is within. He doesn't want to give out what is within. Such a person is called Shaheed. But in addition to that, the person is also interested in getting more in addition to what is within. He wants to get more in addition to what he has within. So such a person is what is a Shaheed. But in the case of Bakhil, which is also an Arabic word, it means somebody who does not want to release what he has, or somebody who is releasing less than what he is supposed to release. A Shaheed may be releasing what is less than what is supposed to be released. At the same time, he is also interested in getting more to what he has within. So, this woman went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam complaining that Abu Sufyan is Shaheed. Abu Sufyan is Shaheed. It's somebody who is not given up to expectation. And that is why she said that لا يعطيني ما يكفيني وبنيني. He doesn't give me what is sufficient for me and my children. لا يعطيني من النفقة ما يكفيني وبنيني. Does not give to me of maintenance what will be enough for me and my children. So she lodged this complaint before the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, having understood the matter, said that she can take خُذِينِ مَالِكِ, take from his wealth مَا يَكْفِيكِ, what will be enough for you وَبَنِيكِ, and your children. بالمعروف, but it should be بالمعروف. That is, you should not take more than necessary. Ordinarily, the man has his own wealth and the woman has his own wealth. But it is compulsory on the man to spend on his wife. It is compulsory on the man to spend on his wife. And now we're going to determine what is compulsory and what is not compulsory. Take for instance somebody who gets married to a rich man who will not support supporting the maintenance. It is the same thing as somebody who gets married to somebody who is poor. A poor man and a rich man, the maintenance with respect to both of them differ. Maintenance expected of a rich man is not the same as the one expected from a poor man or somebody who is not that poor and not that rich. But they all have to maintain their family. They all have to maintain their family. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَةٍ. So the one who has a lot, the one who has the space in his wealth, should what? Should spend out of it. The one who has much, should spend much. Then the one who has little, should also spend little. Allah says, فَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا أَتَاهُ اللَّهُ. So the one who has a kind of difficulty in his own provision should also spend from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. So meaning what? Nafaqa is composing on the husband. The husband, it is composing on him to what? To maintain the family. It is composing. But what a rich man would do that is composing on a rich man is not the same thing that is composing on a poor man. And if the wife of a poor man is trying to compare her husband to a rich man, so that would be injustice on her part, because the husband is not somebody who is what? Khalil, not somebody who is rich. And the husband who is rich is not doing up to expectation, is also what? Unjust. So justice has to do with the custom. It has to do with the man. We look at the man, does he have much? If he has much, then he has to spend on his wife according to his wealth, according to his ability. The same thing is applicable to the poor man. He should also spend on his wife according to his wealth and his ability. So this is clear from the Quran. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةٍ مِنْ سَعَةٍ فَمَنْ قُدْرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا مَا آتَاهَا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not burden his soul except what he has given to each. So a soul will not be burdened with what is more than what it can bear. Allah will not do that. And Allah is not going to punish him for that. He doesn't have much. So we'll say, okay, it is compulsory on him to go and look for what the wife or the family will eat, the way the wife and the family of the well-to-do man or worthy man will do. So this will be what burden him with what he has no ability for. So when the daughter of Utba, the wife of Abu Sufyan, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, went to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained about the husband. What she said be, "Inna Abu Sufyan rajulun shahid." That is what an allegation. That Abu Sufyan is shahid. It changes. He does not want to give what he's supposed to do. And we said a shahid in the Arabic language is somebody who does not want to release what he's supposed to release. he has it, but he does not want to release it. That is a shahid. In addition to the fact that the person is interested in also getting from other people. And that is why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, said, the best sadaqah is the sadaqah that you do. وَأَنْتَ صَحِيحٌ شَهِيدٌ. When you are sahih, you are every shahihun, you are stingy. Almost everybody is stingy, except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assist. Most people do not want to give out, but want to take. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحَّةِ وَأُحْضِرَتِ الْأَنْفُسُ الشُّحَّةِ. The souls, they are what? They are engrossed in what? In shuhah. In mindfulness. They don't want to, they don't want to part with what they have. Take for instance, man, if you want to create a kind of problem among some people, just okay, this is 5 million naira, share it among yourself. The next day, you may hear that people have broken the head of one another. Because some people want to take more than the others. So, and when you are always interested in taking more than the others, this is sure, it's sure. It means you do not want to part with what you have. If you want to part with what you have, you will not be what running after taking more than the others. So I believe that the answer should show. So the souls, they are engrossed in what? In short, in miserliness, in stinginess, except those of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say. So she went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, complained about her husband. In Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan, Rajulun Shaheed, is a stingy person. He does not want to give up to what he's supposed to give. And it's somebody who is what? Who is interested in getting more. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a comment after that. Scholars, they said, is it true that Abu Sufyan was shaheed? Or she understood it to be that? Some said Abu Sufyan was not shaheed, but that's the way she understood it. But from the fatwa or the ruling that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave, it shows that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved a statement. Because ordinarily, if somebody comes to you complaining about a person, what you are supposed to do is what? For you to invite the second party and listen to him, hear from him as well. With that, you can do what? You can pass your judgment. But in this case, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not invite Abu Sufyan to also hear from him. That means that he knew about the matter. He knew about the matter. He was aware about the allegation that the wife alleged the husband with, that the husband was shaheed. So we get the point here that somebody may be good in some aspects, but in another aspect the person not may have what, one fault or the other, or one deficiency or the other. Somebody can be what, a Muslim, but he has what, he has shuk. As I said earlier, that almost everybody has what, shuk in himself, except those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says from this. So when the woman lodged this complaint, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam acknowledged or accepted the complaint from her and passed a judgment. Now the scholars said, when Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what he said, Khudhi min malihi bil ma'ruf ma yakfiki wa banik, take from his wealth what will be enough for you and your children. But you should be what? In a handsome way. In a way that is in accordance with the custom. When he said that, was Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam acting as a qadi or as a mufti? because there is difference between qada and fatwa. Qada is when you pass the judgment, you tell it, you give the ruling, then you have what? The power to enforce it. You have the power to enforce it. This is qada. So a qadi, a judge, is the one that has the power to enforce whatever ruling he has passed. Okay, so and so person should go and should be killed. So and so person should be jailed. The wealth of so and so person should be confiscated, and things like that. This is what the power of qada. The power of qada. The other one is fatwa. Fatwa is to give what? To pass the ruling on something, but you don't have the power to what? To execute it. Or you may have the power to execute it, but you are not using the power. You are just giving what? Fatwa ordinarily. And that's why a mufti is different from a qadi. A mufti can tell you this is the ruling of so and so. Okay, what is the ruling on the one who commits zina? A mufti can say the ruling is so and so. But so and so person commits a zina. He cannot say what? He cannot say go and what execute so and so person. Because he doesn't have that power. He does not have the power. So the one who says go and execute or go and jail somebody or go and imprison somebody, that person is acting as a cardinal, is acting as a judge. So when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, خُذِي مِن مَالِكِ مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَيَكْفِي بَنِيكِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, when he said that, was it fatwa or qada? Some said it is fatwa. Some said it is fatwa. Why did they say fatwa? They said fatwa because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not invite the other parties. He did not invite the other party. If it is something of qada, he should have invited Abu Sufyan to the sitting. So that, okay, he will tell him this is an allegation, you have been alleged, or so and so. So he will give Abu Sufyan the time to defend himself. So, and that's why he said it's fatwa. The other scholar, he said, no, it is qada, it is ruling. It is permissible for you to pass a judgment, even if the other party is not there, when you know that what they have brought is something that is what? That is true. That is true. Allahu a'lam, whether qada or fatwa, the most important thing is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed her to take from the word of the husband. خُذِي مِن مَالِهِ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَا يَكْفِيكِ وَيَكْفِي بَنِيكِ, take from his word what will be sufficient for you and your children to maintain yourself. So meaning it is compulsory on the husband to maintain the wife, to maintain the children. It is compulsory to do that. But it should be what? The maintenance that is compulsory, it is the one that is customary, the one that is customary. So in accordance to the culture, in accordance to the culture, not something that is not customary, not something that is not customary. So, and trying to know this, which means what, you try to differentiate between a poor man and a rich man. Somebody who is under a poor husband will not be using a rich man as a standard. A woman that is married to a poor man, take for instance somebody who is married to the one who is earning less than 30,000 naira per month. And there's another man who is also earning, let's say, 500,000 naira per month. The wife of the man earning 30,000 naira per month is comparing herself to the wife of the man who is earning 500,000 naira per month. This is injustice. She will not be saying, okay, the wife of so-and-so person is getting so-and-so. No. The man and our own husband and the other husband, they are not getting out. They are not getting the same amount. So we are going to use the man, the poor man, as what? As a standard. Now, if any 30,000 naira per month, how much is he given out of the 30,000 that he earns per month for the wife and the children? So this will be what? Bil ma'ruf, customary. But it will be what? Injustice. It will be injustice for us to what? To be using the wife of the baboon, the one who earns 100,000 naira per month as what? As the artist. That will be injustice. That the wife of so and so person, she gets, let's say, 10,000 naira just to cook for a week. You have the man who is earning 30,000 naira per month going to get what? 10,000 naira to cook per week. So meaning what? The man will be in debt at the end of the month just for cooking, no talk of what? Clothing and the like. No talk of paying house rent. And the husband gets 30,000 naira per month. So if the wife of such a man comes and says, my husband is Rajulun Shaheed, we say, no, your husband is not Rajulun Shaheed. You are the one that has what? High pitch. You are the one that has a high pitch. So it should do what? Bil ma'ruf. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sanctioned the woman to take from the wealth of the husband, he said what? Bil ma'ruf. That cloth is very, very important. Bil ma'ruf. That is according to the custom. Because ordinarily, the wealth of somebody, of a person, is haram on the other person. This is what Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam established. إِنَّ دِمَاءَكُمْ وَأَمْوَالَكُمْ وَعَرَضَكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ حَرَامٌ كَحُرْمَةِ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا بِشَهْرِكُمْ هَذَا فِي بَلَدِكُمْ هَذَا. He said, your wealth, likewise your honor, your clothes are haram, they are sacred. You should not violate them, just like the sacredness of this day of yours, this month of yours, this town of yours. So you should not take the word of another person. A woman shouldn't take the word of her husband. A husband should not take the word of his wife. A father should not take the word of his son. Likewise, a son should not take the word of his father or his mother. Because all this amwal, this word, is sacred. It's sacred. You don't have the right to take the word of another person except for a genuine reason that the Sharia approves. In this case now, Abu Sufyan is said to be Shaheed, stingy. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam approved this. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam supported the woman in acclaim and gave her the judgment that she can take from the wealth of her husband. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed a very big task on us, a big burden, and that is what? Bil ma'ruf. Bil ma'ruf. That is, don't take what is not your right. Take for instance, the man that earns 30,000 that you see. Out of the 30,000 there, maybe he's given the woman to buy food and all other things, is given them 25,000 naira or let's say less than that, that you should go and manage this. And the woman is aware of the amount that the man earns every month. She knows that this man is not maintaining them the way he should. He has. In that case, the woman can take from the wealth. But it should be what? Bil ma'ruf. Not she can take from the wealth in order to get some luxuries. To get some luxuries. We know what the luxuries are. So a woman taking the wealth of her husband to get luxuries, such a woman is transgressing. such a woman is violating the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa aradakum alaykum haram. Is violating the hadith. It's violating the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا لَا تَأْكُلُوا أَمْوَالَكُمْ بَيْنَكُمْ الْبَاطِلِ. Do not defy your ways among yourselves with batil unjustly. She's violating that verse. But if she has a genuine excuse, what the man gives them for food is not enough for them, and she knows that the man has a lot, in this case she can take what will be enough for them for feeding. What will be enough for them for feeding? Not luxuries. Not luxuries. You know, if you, let's say you have a 300 naira now, you want to eat, you can eat with 300 naira and what? And still manage it. And if you want to eat with 10,000 naira, you can eat with 10,000 naira. It depends. It depends. Somebody who enters Mr. Biggs, for instance, or enters Tantalizer, what he will pay for feeding there is not the same thing that he will pay when he buys from the roadside. So, ordinarily, the woman knows that the man cannot afford to be buying food from Tantalizer. But she prefers to be going to Tantalizer or to Mr. Binks to buy food. And she takes from the wealth of the man. And when she challenged for that, she said, Messenger of Allah said, what? Kudimi malihi, ma'ekfiki, wabaniki bin ma'ruf. We said, no, this is what? This is not the hadith. This is luxury. You can buy a bottle of Coke, for instance, 100 naira outside, and you prefer to go to Tantalizer or Mr. Bish to get the same bottle of Coke for less than 300 naira or more or less. So this will be luxury. It will be luxury. Choosing Tantalizer for the food will be luxury. The same thing maybe for clothing, for instance. The same material they sell at Oshodi for, let's say, 1,000 naira. But if you go to a boutique or you go to Iban, get the same material, maybe for 5,000 naira. And the woman prefers to go to that place. And when she's asked, she said, what? Messenger of Allah said, Khudimi Malik, my feet, what are you? He said, what? Messenger of Allah said, what? Bil Ma'ruf. Bil Ma'ruf. It should be what? As it is operated customarily. If the husband is somebody who has a lot, take for instance, let's say somebody in the status of people like Dangote, for instance, now is accused of being stingy by the wife. Now who expect the wife to go to Oshodi to go and buy what? Material. Are you with me? I will not expect her to go to the roadside to buy what? Foodstuff. Because that is not what they are used to. That is not what they are used to. So, a person in caliber of Dangote, for instance, will not go to places like that to get the material, the sewing material. I will not go to places like the roadside to buy something like this. So if the wife accuses him of what being stingy, not spending up to his expectation. So she takes from the word what will enable her to go to the places that they are used to, to buy what is necessary. But for her to be comparing herself to the wife of somebody who is rich and the husband is a poor man, so this will be injustice on her part. So we have to understand this. It is very, very important. So Allah says, لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعَةِ مِنْ سَعَةِ. Those who have much should spend much. فَمَنْ قُدِرَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ فَلْيُنْفِقْ مِمَّا آتَاهُ اللَّهُ. Whoever has a strength in their life, it doesn't have much, he should what spend from the little that Allah provided for him. لا يكلف نفسا إلا لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا ما آتاها. So what Allah has given to each soul is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala burden him with or burden it with. فَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْلَ عُسْرٍ يُسْرًا. If things are difficult now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make them easy later. So, but for a man not to be responsible, this is against the teaching of Islam. A man must be responsible, but he should be responsible according to his ability. He should be responsible according to his ability. He should not do more than himself. He shouldn't say because some people are doing so and so for their family, so I must do so and so for my family. And he does not have what? The financial will be there to do that. This is what? Burdening oneself with what is beyond one's ability. And Islam does not like that. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us. He said, لا تنظر إلى من هو فوقكم. Don't look at those who are above you. You look at those who are below you. If you look at those who are above you with that, you will be listening to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. You will be listening to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. But when you look at those that you are better than, you are financially better than, you look at them, this will make you appreciate the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. But you look at those that are above you in the society, you will be ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he told the Hindu, the daughter of Utba, that take from his wealth what will be enough for you and your children. Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put a condition there, and that is what? Bil ma'ruf. What you know you are supposed to eat customarily. Customarily is what you take. Not that you say, okay, alhamdulillah, opportunity as what has come. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given me the fatwa that what I can take the wealth of. And when she goes, for instance, she takes the whole wealth, or she takes more than she customarily needed, in need of, trying to what? To justify her action with the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are a lot of people like that, that they already have what they want to do, but they will be using the Sharia to justify their whims and caprices. So this is what? This is very, very bad and uncalled for. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told this. Scholars, they also bring out from this hadith some other things. Like some of them, they use it as evidence to say that if somebody is wronging you, when you go to complain about the person to somebody who can take away that injustice, it's not considered ghibah. You know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said what? وَلَا يَكْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْدًا. You should not backbite one another. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَنْ يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. Do you love to eat the flesh of your brother مَيْتًا dead? فَكَرِهْتُمُوهُ. You detest this. So, when you speak ill of somebody behind him, this is riba. And what you are saying of that person is what is correct. Maybe the person is doing something that is wrong, for instance. What you are saying of the person is what is correct. That is called what? Riba. As long as what is taken behind him. But if that thing you are saying is not true of that person, that is called Bhutan. That is called Bhutan. It is more dangerous and more evil than when you say something that is true of that person and that thing is bad, but is true of the person you are saying it of, that is called riba. But it is permissible for you to say something evil about somebody behind the person if it falls in one of the six instances that scholars have mentioned. The first one is available in this hadith. The husband is not taking care of the wife. He's not doing the responsibility the way it should be done. What's she going to do? If she remains quiet, the injustice continues. It will not be lifted. So what will she do? Is there any person that she can go to and complain, and this injustice or this maltreatment is lifted? If there is, then he or she can go to that person. He or she can go to that person and what? Lodge the complaint so that what? This maltreatment can be lifted. So the woman went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the head of the state. She can lift this maltreatment away. So in that case, this type of backbiting, because the husband will not be pleased with what she has said, if the husband were to what? To be aware that the wife had gone to lodge complaints against him before the Messenger of Allah. So, but she was not faulty, because Messenger of Allah did not fault her. Rather, Messenger of Allah tried to rectify the situation, tried to look into her complaint. So somebody who takes the injustice or maltreatment of a person to another person, who can lift that maltreatment, or who can correct the injustice? This is not giver. This is not giver. And that is why the scholars, they said, وَظَمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ. When you speak it of somebody behind the person, it's not giver in six things. The first one is mutazallimin, the one who is lodging complaint about the injustice that is meted out to him or her, or the maltreatment that somebody has meted out to him or her. But condition that the one that is lodging that thing to is somebody who can lift it. If the person cannot lift it, so what is the essence of telling the person? What is the essence of telling the person? So وَظَمُّ لَيْسَ بِغِيبَةٍ فِي سِتَّةٍ مُتَظَلِّمٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ وَمُحَذِّرٍ وَمُعَرِّفٍ. Another reason, when somebody is abused behind or spoken ill of behind, when it will not be considered giba is if it is for ta'arif. Ta'arif is for you to explain and to talk about somebody in such a way that what? People will know that this is the person that you are talking about. Huh? If you have not mentioned that thing, people will not know that this is the person you are talking about. You have to mention something that is derogatory somehow, that people will know this is the person you are talking about. So, and that's why you see some people say what, when they talk about some scholars of hadith, they say what, Al-A'mash. Al-A'mash is known with this name. But what do you mean of Al-A'mash? Is somebody who does not see well. Who does not see well, particularly at night, is called Al-A'mash. Somebody may call Al-A'raj, that is somebody who is leaping or something like that. So they use things like this to describe somebody. It's for description. So if the description will make the people understand the person you are talking about, this is what? This is overlooked. It will not be considered what? Giver. Wa muhadhirin, and somebody who is warning somebody or warning people from the particular person. This is with the scholars of Aqidah, scholars of hadith. Scholars of hadith, some of them may tell you what so and so, but it's not da'if. The one that they say is da'if, if that person hears it, he won't like it. So scholars of aqidah will tell you so and so point is what is mubtadi. If he hears that he's being called mubtadi, he will not like it. But he must be called mubtadi because he's a mubtadi. Yes, he has an honor, but the honor of the deen is more important than his own honor. So now you are weighing the two things. This person that is spreading innovation, spreading bid'ah, misleading people, if you want to keep his own honor, it will be at the detriment of the honor of the deen. People will be doing bid'ah. So in this case, you have to defend the deen, even if it's going to affect his own honor. This is what? Trying to do muwazana. You are trying to do a kind of weighing. You weigh it to which one? Should I try to protect the honor of this person? And if the deen is being destroyed, let the deen continue to be destroyed. Let people continue to be misled. So that is one. A lot of people may be misled through his own bid'ah. So now you have allowed a lot of people to go astray because of what? You want to protect the honor of one person. And that's why scholars say what? Wa muhaddiri. Wa muhaddiri, the one who is warning people from an innovator, for instance, or somebody who is da'if, that don't take the hadith of so and so person. Now we have many ahadith like that. Take for instance, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody came in and he said, Bi'sa akul ashira. Bi'sa akul ashira. Before the man came in, Messenger of Allah said, Bi'sa akul ashira. This man that is coming in is an evil man. Why was he telling those people that he's an evil man? That is, don't fall for him. Don't fall for him. And when the person came in, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke with him gently. And so when he left, Aisha radiallahu anha said, Messenger of Allah, he said so and so about that person. He said, Inna sharra nas man tarakahu nas. The worst person is the one that people have abandoned, ittika'a sharri, just to avoid what? To avoid his evil. That is, this man I'm telling you what is an evil man. So that what? You watch, you be careful. At the same time, if I should speak with him in an harsh way, he has control over his people. He will go there and watch and scatter everything. I hope it is clear. Somebody that, and that's some, at times, some people, they refrain from speaking against some people publicly because of what? The power and things that the control that they have on people. But, you know, secretly, they'll be warning people. Because if they speak against him publicly, the benefit that a tahrir will bring, what will be lower in comparison to the what? To the evil that warning against that person what will bring. And we have to watch. We have to do this comparison. Messenger of Allah said, Bi'sa akul ashira. And when the man came in, Messenger of Allah was, you know, he spoke with him well, as if nothing happened. Aisha of the line said, oh, Messenger of Allah, you did so and so. He said, the worst of people is the one that people have abandoned in order to avoid the watch. It's evil. So, wa muhaddirin, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do some things. If somebody is what is maybe proclaiming evil, he doesn't mind. If somebody doesn't care at all, he will be doing things of sins publicly. This is what a mujahirin fiskon. Somebody who is declaring, doing publicly, or somebody who is taking intoxicants publicly, fornicating, committing adultery, such a person has no riba. As some of the scholars have said, that three people, they don't have what riba. And he mentioned among them somebody who is what? Who is declaring evil things, promiscuity. He doesn't mind what. So when you speak about such person, it's not a riba. Then, one who's testing, the one who is giving, who's seeking for fatwa. The one who is seeking for fatwa, like the case of Hind bint Utbah radiallahu anha. he used that as an example as well. So we'll have to mention some things about the person that the issue is concerned. Then وَمَنْ طَلَبَ الْعِيَانَةَ فِي إِذَالَةِ الْمُنْكَرِهِ. The last one is the one who is looking for assistance in order to watch, to lift something that is evil. It may not be that that thing is affecting him directly, but there is munkar going on. There is something that is evil going on. So, and he has to tell the people that so and so munkar going, so that we can watch, we can lift it. We'll say what is doing the riba. So when we hear that وَلَيْكْتَ بَعْضُكُمْ بَعْضًا, we should not backbite one another. There are some things that are not considered backbiting, because they are for the interest of the deen or for the interest of uplifting the truth or holding the truth. So they draw this, they use this hadith of Hind bint Utba as evidence for this principle that we have talked about. وعن طارق المحارب رضي الله عنه قال from طارق المحارب الله بفضل الكيم سيد قدمنا المدينة فإذا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قائم على المنبر يخطب الناس. We came to Medina and we saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم on the minbar addressing the people. ويقول, and he was telling them, يد المعطي العليا, the hand of the giver is the upper one, the upper hand, the hand of the giver. يد المعطي, يد المعطي, the hand of the giver, العليا is the upper one. وابدا بمن تعود, you start with the one that you are responsible for. That is those that you are responsible for their maintenance, you start with them. Ummak, your mother, wa abak, your father, wa ukhtak, your sister, wa abak, your brother, thumma abnaaka, then next closest to you, fadnaaka, then next closest to you. Rawahu al-Nasa'i, Nasa'i recorded this, wa sahahu ibn Hibban, wa Dharqutni, and Ibn Hibban declared to be authentic. Now this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking in it concerning maintenance, to maintain the people. Those who have should give those who do not have. لِيُنْفِقْ ذُو سَعْتٍ مِنْ سَعْتٍ. Those who have should give those who do not have. This is what encouraging us. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يَدُ الْمُعْتِ, the hand of the giver is al-uliya, is what? Is the upper hand. Al-yadu al-uliya khayru min al-yadu al-sufla, the upper hand is better than the lower one. Meaning you should endeavor to be given to, not to be taken. When you are taken, you put yourself in the low level. But when you are given, you are what? You are on the upper level. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said is to encourage people to give. And the companions, radiallahu anhu, they implemented this. They were always interested in giving. They were always interested in giving. As Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will encourage them. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encouraged them to give. So they don't want to be the receivers often. They want to be the givers. So they are always given. They are always given, given, given. This is based on the encouragement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Messenger of Allah called your attention to something. When it comes to maintenance, yes, it is good for you to maintain other people. But your maintenance should start from your own family. It should start from your own family. When you say you are maintaining other people and your family is suffering, then you don't know how to prioritize things. You don't know how to prioritize things. You should start with your own family. So in this hadith, Messenger of Allah mentioned what? Ummak, your mother. Ummak, he mentioned the mother. Then he mentioned the father. he mentioned the sister, he mentioned the brother, then those who are next closest, those who are next closest, like that. But the closest person, or the one that deserves our maintenance most of all the people, is the wife. Is the wife. The wife deserves our maintenance more than any other person apart from ourselves. Yourself is number one. Then after that, your wife. After that, your children. Now what about the parents, the siblings? Now these people, it is compulsory on you to spend on them if they do not have. But if they have, it is not compulsory on you to spend on them, but it is compulsory on you to do what? To do kindness to them. And kindness can come in different ways. Kindness can come in different ways. How this is clear. So your parents, if they have, they have enough, it's not compulsion you to spend on them. But if they do not have much, it is act of kindness for you to spend on them. If they have much, it is also part of kindness to also what? Give them. But that is not, given is not the only way of doing kindness to your parents. There are many different ways with which you can be kind to your parents. That is, if they do not have, it is part of kindness to give them. If they have, it is also part of kindness to give them, but not compulsory now. But if they do not have, it is compulsory to give. But in case of your wife, whether she has or she doesn't have, it is a contract that you have entered into. It is a contract that you have what entered into. So the case of the parents, the brothers and the like, this is what is part of deal, is kindness. The case of the wife is part of what? Contract. When you get married to somebody, it is part of the contract that what you must spend on her. وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُفِ. It is compulsory on you to feed them, provide for them, to clothe them, bil ma'ruf. Customarily. It is what? It is compulsory. Walahunna alaykum. For them, it is their right, alaykum, on you. Rizquhunna, what to feed them. Wakiswatuhunna bil ma'ruf. And to clothe them. So this is part of the contract that you enter with them. And that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَعَلَى الْمُولُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. The father must spend on the wife, feed them, clothe them. For that of the parents, you should be nice to them. Neither you can come in form of what? Spending on them. It can also come in form of assisting them in some things. It can come in what? Paying them visits and things like that. But if they do not have, then it is compulsory on you to spend on them as well. Then the same thing is applicable to the siblings. Now, somebody doesn't have much. His parent, or one of his parents, does not have, and the wife is hungry. Which one comes first? The wife. Why? Because that of the wife is what? Is contract. Is the debt that is on you. Is a contract. That of the parent is what? Is ma'ruf. So the wife comes first. The scholars will almost have what? Unanimity on this. Because this is what is the contract that you have had with the woman. And that is why a man will be punished for not taking care of his wife. But when we say not taking care of his wife, not meaning what? Buying all the luxurious things for her, things like that. No. What is what? What is ma'ruf? If the man is poor, the wife would get from him according to his ability. And if the man is rich, the wife would get from him according to his ability. So, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned here that he encourages us to do sadaqah, to give out, to maintain people, those who do not have, he said, what fabda biman ta'ul. You start with those that you are responsible, with those that you are responsible for. Ummak, your mother, wa abak, your father, wa ukhtak, your sister, wa akhak, your brother. Thumma adnaka fa adnak. Then those who are next closest. Those who are next closest. Yeah, he didn't mention the wife. Because we have another hadith that says what? Somebody says, I have a dinar. He said, what? I'm fiqh ala nafsik. Spend it on yourself. He said, in the dinar ala akhara. I have another one. He said, I'm fiqh ala halik. Spend it on your wife. So, that of the wife comes first. Because your wife is what? Is your ahl. These people mentioned here, they are what? They are qaraba, your relatives. Your wife is not your what? Is not your relative. This is your wife, not your blood relative. Unlike what these people that I mentioned. But in front of them all is the mother, followed by the father. The mother followed by the father. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم للمملوك طعامه وكسوته ولا يكلف من العمل إلا ما يطيق رواه مسلم. الإمام مسلم reports this hadith from Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said للمملوك. Al-Mamluk is the slave. The slave should be given his food. What is what we should be quoted. وَلَا يُكَلَّفْ مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِلَّا مَا يُكِلُ. And he should not be burdened with any work except what he can do. Except what he can do. This is the slave that you have full control over. Islam says you should not burden them with something that he cannot do. And that's why he said, what ikhwanukum khawalukum ja'alahum la'u ta'ata aydikum. He said, your khawal, meaning your slaves, they are your brothers in Islam. Allah put them under you. So man kana ahu ta'ata yadi, whoever has his own brother, under him, he said, fala yukallifu ma he should not burden him with what will be burdensome for him. So he said what? Wa'inka laftumu, if you burden them with something that will be big for them, fa'iluhu, then you have to assist them. So somebody with a slave, in another hadith, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who will prepare your food for you? He said, eat together with them. But if you don't want to eat together with them, let them have what? A taste of the food. They should also take from the food. So if this is said of a slave or about your wife, your children, your parents, that okay, you will be eating good things and they will not be eating good things. So when you eat, you try to give them from what you are eating. If you are encouraged to do that to your slaves, then your relatives, your parents, your children, your wife, they should also enjoy this from you. So because you are supposed to maintain them as well, and you are supposed to be nice to them. So the hadith is telling us that the maintenance of the slave is upon the master. So their ta'am and their kiswa, their food and their clothing is upon one. One Hakim bin Muawiyah, from Hakim, the son of Muawiyah al-Kushayri, and Abi from his father, Qala, he said, Qulti ya Rasulullah, I said, O Messenger of Allah, ma haqqu zawjati ahadina alayhi, what is the right of the wife of one of us on him? Qala an tut'ima idha ta'imta, you should feed her when you feed yourself. That is, if you eat, then the next thing you have to what? Feed your wife. You have to feed your wife. So when you feed yourself, you feed your wife. What taksua is that taita, when you clothe yourself, you clothe your wife. He said this hadith has been mentioned when we are talking about Ishwatun Nisa, that is the way you relate to the women. So the author brought it here again to tell us the maintenance of the wife. The maintenance of the wife, that you are supposed to maintain your wife. Even if she what? If she's rich, she's well to do. Clothing and feeding is part of what? Your responsibility. However, that doesn't mean that the wife cannot assist the man in maintaining the house, in taking care of the family. She can assist, but it is not her duty. It is not her duty. It only becomes a duty on her when the man does not have at all. The man doesn't have. Let something or things go wrong for the man, and the wife has. In that case, she will say, it is not my duty. And watch, the household will be going hungry, things will be bad for the household, and she has money. In this case, it is compulsory on her to take care of the family. Not because it is compulsory on her originally, but they are human beings, and you have to assist human beings that are suffering. So if there is no other person that is ready to assist, and you are the closest person that you have to assist in that case. But ordinarily, it is not compulsory on the wife to spend on the household, but it is good if she can assist the husband. This is something that is okay. It is welcome to assist the husband, but it is not a duty on her. It only becomes compulsory if the man does not have the ability to take care of the family. So in that case, she has to do that. وَأَنْ جَابِرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِ الْحَجِّ بِطُولِهِ قَالَ فِي ذِكْرِ النِّسَاءِ. Jabir in the hadith of Hajj, the lengthy hadith talking about the Hajj of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he said in that hadith that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Walahunna alaykum, walahunna alaykum." It is part of their right on you, is kuhunna, to provide for them, wa kiswatuhunna bil ma'ruf, and to clothe them bil ma'ruf in a handsome way. Akhrajahu Muslim reported this. Wa an Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, from Abdullah bin son of Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kafa bil mar'i ithman an yudayya man yaquj, it's not a sin for somebody to render useless or not to take care of the one that he is responsible for. كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَنْ يُضَيِّعَ مَنْ يَقُوْجُ, for somebody not to take care of the one that is responsible for is enough sin for such a person. رواه النسائي. Nasai reported this. وَهُوَ عِنْدَ مُسْلِمْ بِلَغْنِ, in Sahih Muslim it comes in this wording, أَنْ يَحْبِسَ عَمَّا يَمْلِكُ كُوتَهُ, for him to withdraw from or withhold is maintenance from somebody that is what he is supposed to provide for. So this is some ahadith on nafaqat, on maintenance generally, whether maintaining one's wife or maintaining oneself, maintaining the relatives, maintaining those who are far from one. Islam encourages us to maintain people, but we start with ourselves, then our wife, our children, our parents, our siblings. So this is the arrangement. So every one of us should check themselves whether they are doing the right thing. Are you maintaining those who are you supposed to maintain, or you are withholding your wealth, keeping it? The money that you are keeping, if one dies, people will share it after one. This is what is happening. So one is only keeping it for those who will share it after. But if one spends it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded one is going to get reward for that. One is going to get reward for that. And that is why Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encourages us to do sadaqa. When he was asked concerning the best sadaqa, he said, "Anta sadaqa," is for you to do sadaqa. "Wa anta sahihun shaheed," when you are heavy and you have the ability to be stingy. But you prefer sadaqa, you prefer giving to being stingy. So this is the best sadaqa that you do. And this is what the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. So they will give out, because they know that if they give out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provide for them. So this is what the chapter is trying to teach us, that we should be generous. We should be generous. We should not be stingy. If the generosity of a thing is properly taken care of, Allah and the Muslims will not be in this serious situation, in this situation in which we are. But the Muslims, we are not abiding by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many issues. In many issues. So it makes some people see Islam as if Islam is not it's not okay for this time of ours. That is, Islam is something that has, well, the time has come and it has gone. So all the provisions of Islam is not, they are not something that are fit, so to say, that fits this era. But this is because the Muslims are not carrying out the dictates and the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way they should. I was speaking with somebody yesterday, and he asked, "Okay, when we say tax, you know, last week or so, it was mentioned that some scholars said what collection of tax from people is something that is what haram." So I said, "This is what majority of the scholars are upon." Somebody now asked me that, "What if let's assume that the state does not have what any mineral resources to rely on? Where are they going to get money to execute projects?" And I said, "Over this issue of what mineral resources to rely on, in the past, it was not in the hand of the government. Any mineral resources, it was in the hand of individuals. So you go and strive, you dig, you get whatever you get. Then the only thing is what Islam will impose some more tax on you. That is which we call what the zakat. So at times Islam will encourage you to what to do sadaqah. This waqf of a thing, endowment which you have created, is not compulsory that you do what you do endowment. But as Jabir radiallahu anhu said, he said, there was hardly a person among the companions who did not do waqf. So through waqf, if waqf, for instance, the endowment of a thing is properly taken care of, a lot of projects can be executed. Someone may say, "Okay, this road, I want to do it." Waqf on the law as what? work for. Maybe the person is a billionaire, for instance. And what? He said, this road, I want to do it. What is important? Is it doing the building of the road? Or what? Or the which one? Is it to build it, or it must be from the government? To build it. So if an individual says, okay, it's work for, I'm building this road. Okay, I want to build this hospital work for. I want to build this madrasa work for. What else do we need? Huh? So individuals, they are given the opportunity to us to explore. To explore the air. They make money and what? They also spend in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the state will only tell them to pay some work, zakah, which you call tax, on some things like that. But for us to say, okay, everything must be taxed compulsively. This is the way of what? The way of the West. Because to them, yeah, now somebody speaks with you, do something, it's a little law, and what? You are moved, you start spending. Somebody that is not fit to be the lion, what? In his own life. You have to force him before what? Before he can get something from. That is the worst for you. There is no, nothing like what? Sodako. A wife and a husband, huh? Both of them will sit down and say, okay, we are going to pay the food, the money for the food of our children, 50-50. Huh? It's not that what the husband will spend on the wife. No. You are going to pay for your food, I'm going to pay for my food. And things like that. So, when we talk about sadaqa, it's not like sadaqa because they don't believe in Allah. They don't believe in God. So the government has to what? Has to put some what? Some taxes. Tax them on everything. Compulsively they have to. So the same system is brought to our land. So when you ask, how is the government going to make money to execute projects were executed during the time of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through what? Through awqaf, through sadaqat. There is zakat that were made compulsory on what? On those who have, not on everybody. The zakat was collected and given to those that what? That were entitled to it. But today we throw away things like this. We now feel that God, how can we grow? How can the state grow when we will not do this? How can the state grow? How can the economy grow without river? So this is what Shaitan tells people. How can the economy grow? How can I improve my business without getting loan from the bank? Now, the bank that you want to get loan from with interest, is the bank producing money? Huh? The bank is not producing money. It is the money that you have loaned the bank. You are loaning the bank. I'm loaning the bank. The money that you have kept in the bank, it is the money that the bank will loan another person with interest. What if you and I come together? You have the money. I have the what? Escapade. We come together. And what? We go into partnership. And when we make what profit, we share the profit. Huh? Compare that and you going to the bank, giving the bank, loaning money from the bank, and allowing the money, the bank to make money out of you. Allowing the bank to make money out of you. And what? Whether that is what, whether you succeed in the business or not, that is none of their business. So Islam already has what provisions for most of these things that you are talking about. But the problem is that a lot of Muslims are not making use of it. So we pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our feet firm on his watch. May subhanahu wa ta'ala because better Muslims wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanahu wa ta'ala wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka.
Okay.
We have read the hadith before. We have read the hadith. The man said, what in the dinar? I have what a dinar. He said, what? Tasaddaq bihi. Anfiqhu ala nafsik. He said, what in the akhar? He said, anfiqhu ala ahlik. We have read the hadith before. When we are talking about the zakah.
The wife taking permission from ربي وربي
Now, can the husband be guilty? I won't lie. Any money, money, God, I won't be guilty. Is that taking from me? Why is that? Well,
I think because it came late. this has been explained. The wealth of everybody is sacred. The wealth of the wife is sacred. The wealth of the husband is sacred. The fact that Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a woman should not spend her wealth except with the permission of the husband. The Messenger of Allah who said this is the one who also said that what khudhi min malihi ma yakfiki wa baniki, take from his own wealth what will be enough for you and what and your children. Is the same person that said what anta wa maluk li abik, you and your wealth are for your father. No contradiction. Now if there is a need for taking from the wealth, the father can take from the wealth of his son. But this should be what? For a genuine reason. Why do we say for a genuine reason? This is because if the son dies, it's not the father alone that holds what? The wealth. So you can't argue that Messenger of Allah said what? Anta wa maluki abik, you and your wealth. No, he said no. Allah has distributed. Allah has what? Given the share of each person to them in their in a bequest. So likewise, the wife who said, they've said what? Khudhi min malihi ma yakfiki wa baniki, take from his wealth what is enough for you and your children. So now what? Take whatever she wants from, no, ma yakfiki, what will it be? Bin ma'ruf. That it should be what? In a handsome way, in a way that is in accordance with the custom. So your husband is a poor person. Don't see your need as the need of what? A rich man's wife. A rich man's wife. That so and so person they are doing, they are buying so and so in their family. So because your husband cannot afford to do that, now it's going to change. The next thing is for you to now watch. Take what is equivalent to what the wife of the rich man gets. You know, that will be injustice on your part. Does your husband get as much as the rich man? If the answer is no, definitely what the rich man is given to his own wife is not what you should be expecting from your husband. So if you take more than that, you'll be accountable for that on the day of Qiyamah. You'll be responsible for it on the day of Qiyamah, because Messenger of Allah said what? Inna dima'akum wa amwalakum wa aradakum alaykum haram. Your dima, your blood, your wealth, your honors, they are haram on you. And Allah said what? La ta'kul amwalakum bainakum bil-batil. Don't devour your wealth among yourselves unjustly. So this is what is clear. So the woman should not, the meaning of the hadith is that the woman should not embark on a project that is what? That is maybe a witch project, except with the permission of the husband. This is the meaning of the hadith. Not that she can't buy this. She wants to buy a toilet roll. She can't take what? Permission from the husband. I want to buy a toilet roll. No, that is not the meaning of the hadith. She wants to embark on something that is what? That is big. If a woman is not asked to do that, one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them and he knows the way he has created them. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said what? مَا رَأَيْتُ مِنَّا قِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ وَجِينٍ أَبْحَبَ لِلُّكْ بِرَجْلٍ حَاظٍ مِنْ إِذَكُنَّا. He said, I do not know somebody with نَقِصَاتِ عَقْلٍ, that you Allah has created them, their aqlu, that is their intellect, is not like that of the male. That can what? Mislead a very serious man like them. Somebody who is not the intellect is not as strong as that of the man, but can what? Can mislead, can control demand like that. A wife can tell her husband, for instance, now, don't be nice to your parents. Don't you know that your parents, they are demanding much from you? They are doing this, they are doing that. And the man will be shaking his head too. The next thing you see was the man boycott all his family. Through what? Through the sweet mouth of his wife. So this is what Messenger of Allah is referring to. So a woman who has wealth, she is now building house, she is doing this, without the knowledge of the husband. You know, this pomposity of a deen will come in. And at times she may what, embark on something that will be disastrous. That what will destroy her completely. She may engage in one business, but if she takes her husband along with that, in taking such a decision like that, this will help her. So this is the meaning of the hadith. Not that she cannot buy anything except with the permission of the husband, but something that is very great, or something that is huge. So in that case, the woman will have to consult the husband, unless if the husband is somebody who is also enemy of progress. You know, as some people will say, so enemy of progress. Once he knows that the wife has some money, say what, borrow me or lend me. Lend me, that is the end of that money. A wife that knows that this is the type of husband she has, in that case, if she hides something away from him, she doesn't fall under this hadith, because the husband himself is not a sensible person. Allah.
So, maybe we will be seen in it, because naturally we will have the benefit of sending on the children, giving them power to write in
wife. That is a misplacement of priority. The wife comes first. If you do not have a wife, you won't have children. How can you not kick away the...
When you have something and...
No, the wife comes first. This doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of the need of... We are talking about the basic necessities now. The basic things. The wife first, then the children. Then the children. Not the children first, then the wife. The wife first. Because in the case of the wife, the contract between you and her. And Allah will spell this out. وَعَلَى الْمُولُودِ لَهُ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ مَثَلُ اللَّهِ mentioned وَلَهُنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ رِزْقُهُنَّ وَكِسْوَتُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. So it is what is the contract that you have to fulfill. We are talking about the basic thing. Not that the wife will not use this as opportunity that, I want a house. I want a car. And she knows that the man cannot even buy what? Cannot buy a bicycle for himself. No, that is not what is being said. So the basic things, the wife must also look at the income of the husband. So if the income is something that can provide for that, that's a different thing. Then it takes care of the children as well. As for the parents, it is part of their kindness and naivety to take care, to spend on them, even if they have. But it is not compulsory if they have. But if they do not have, it is compulsory on the man to take care of the parents. Even the woman. It is compulsory on the woman to take care of her parents if they do not have. That is to spend on them, this is what I'm referring to. To spend on them is compulsory. She won't say, but I'm not a man. And that's why to say, your wife should be what? A full housewife, not working. Now, Islam has not said that. That the woman must be what? A full housewife, not working. But Islam has defined the type of work a woman can do. But if you want your wife to be a full housewife, that means you'll be giving her money. That's what, that if she wants to take care of her own family, parents too, she'll be able to do so. Because if the parents will not have, it is compulsory on her if she has. So let's imagine that somebody has children that maybe they are what? All women. And the parent is going old. Who is going to take care of her? Or take care of him? So it is the daughters that will take care of it. So they have to get something as well. It's not the husband is giving them to what to give to their parents, or they are also working. But the fact that they want to walk doesn't mean what? They should not walk in places that they should not walk. So Allah. Ordinarily, opening an account in the conventional riba bank is haram. That is the business, because it's what? Riba. So, but if there is no any other way out, in that case, one can open. But when you are going to open, the scholars say you open a current account, not the savings account. In the current account, you are giving them, they are not giving you. In the savings account, they will be giving you. So if they give you, this is what? This is riba that they are giving you. Because as we said, you give money to the bank, you are loaning the bank. When we say you are saving money in the bank, you are not saving money. You are what? You are loaning the bank. Because immediately you give them the money, they give the money to another person. And when we talk about wadi'a, that is something that is a saving or trust, you don't have the right to spend it. The way I give it to you is the way you give it back to me. This is what? Trust. But once you have the right to spend it, it becomes what? A loan. And that's why they have what? The rulings differ. In the case of wadi'a, if it gets lost without me being negligent or without me transgressing, you will not ask me to pay. You say what? Qadar Allah wa ma sha'a fa'ala. Because it is trust. Because ordinarily I'm not allowed to what? To touch it, to benefit from it. Because they trust with me. But in the case of loan, if I loan you, and immediately I give you the money, you are going and what? You are attacked by the armed robbers. The money is collected, is carted away. So if you come back to tell me that money, if I want to be kind to you and nice to you, I say, okay, no problem. But originally, you have to pay my money. Because it's what is a loan, it's not a trust. It's what is a loan. So, when you keep the money in the bank, as you say, is the bank making use of it? If the bank makes use of it and you approve they are making use of it, it means what? You are loaning them. You are loaning them. And this is what operates. As they are collecting the money from you, they are also giving it to another person. So, in this case, when you say you loan the bank the money and the banks are adding something to your money, that means what? You are collecting interest on the loan that you are given to them. But instead of that, why not open a current account? Here you'll be paying them again for rendering somewhat services to you. Rather than they giving you, you'll be the one giving them. Now, is it possible or permissible for me to give to somebody that I've loaned money? I've loaned somebody 100,000 naira, for instance, and I'm the one still giving him money. No problem. You can give the one that you have loaned money. But if the one that you have loaned is giving you money based on the loan that you have loaned him, this is what? It's clear riba. So you open a current account, not a savings account, in the case that there is need for you to open. But I just want to have a bank account. That is haram. I'm having a bank account because of what? A necessity. Permissible according to majority of the scholars. And according to what? The Fiqh Council under, or the Fiqh Academy under Muslim World League or under OIC. If there is need for you to open a bank account, you can open a bank account, but it should be what? Current account, not savings account. Some scholars, like Sheikh Nasir al-Albani rahmahullah ta'ala, is of the opinion that no, you cannot open. And the Sheikh did not have a bank account throughout his life till his death. So he said what? You can keep your money in your house. Somebody said, okay, what if the armed robbers, they come, he said, did you tell them this is where I keep my money? You tell them that what? I'm keeping my money in my house. Did you announce that to them? He didn't announce to them. So he said, what? You are afraid. And this is the opinion the Sheikh maintained till his death. they did not have a bank account. But most scholars, they start, they discuss this issue, they invite the experts and the likes under OIC, under Muslim World League. They all favored what opening a bank account if there is need. That is the plus. If there is need for it, you can open it. So in this case, this issue of what they adding something to it may not really come. But let's assume that what you have opened is what is a savings account, that they are adding something. The money that accrues on it, the money should not be spent on yourself, should not be spent on your family. What are you going to do with it? Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, in some of his positions, he said what? Leave it with the bank. Some said, you are assisting them. He said, no, you are not. Is it your money? It's not your money now. It's not your money, is what? Is the one that you have given to them. So leave it with them because it is riba when you collect it. But it's like, Allahu alam, the Sheikh changed his position later. But the fifth council, they said, watch, you can take it, but you must not spend it on yourself. And you must not spend it on those that you are responsible for. So you have to spend it on other people. Some said, if you watch, spend it in the, maybe the building of roads, for instance, toilet and things that are filthy, yes, things like that. So that, but wallahu alam, it can be given to somebody that you are not responsible for their feeding and their maintenance. Wallahu alam. But for you to avoid this, you open a current account. So wallahu alam. Okay. Well, Islamic bond. So what is the bond? Bond is what the government issues in order to get loan from the people. They issue the certificate to people representing the money that has been given to the government. And the one who is holding that certificate will be able to be paid back after a period of time with what? With interest. His money is guaranteed. With what? With interest, maybe after a period of years. So this is what the bond that we know. When we not say Islamic bond? Islamic bond is what people call what? Sukuk. Now sukuk ordinarily does not mean it is what? It is from, it is introduced by Islam. What sukuk means is that people, they come together and what they put money together, and the money that they have put together, the money is invested in something. The money is invested in something. Now they have those who be are representing them, who will be assisting them in controlling that thing, in running it. So this is what sukuk. Sukuk is the plural of sukuk. Sukuk means a kind of certificate. A kind of what? Certificate. So, and that's why some people call it Islamic bonds, just like the bond. But the difference is that in this case, it's not that the sukuk holders are loaning the government or the people, they are not loaning them. They are entering as what? As partners in the business. So the money put together, they want to use the money maybe to execute some projects. So, and the project, if it is executed, they maybe they list the project out to maybe a third party, so to say. So maybe the third party would be paying on that. So, and if they want to sell the item after maybe a period of years, so they can also do that. So what sukuk means, or the Islamic bonds, what it means is that what people coming together, pulling resources to go into what, a kind of business. So, and this will be controlled by a kind of board of director that will be managing it for them. So if there is profit, they are all profiting, and if there is loss, they are all losing. Unlike the conventional bonds, where your capital is what is guaranteed. Your capital is guaranteed, and what the profit is also guaranteed. Maybe at the end of the period, the government is going to give. In the case of what the so-called Islamic bond has bonds, so your capital is not guaranteed. If there is loss, you are going to share from it, and if there is profit, you are going to make profit. Now depends on where the sukuk is going. It may be in ijara, ordinary ijara, just lease a loan. So it may be what in ijara muntahiya bitamlik. It may be what lease to own, or what they call ayah purchase. It may be, that. It may be in musharaka. It may be in what? In mudaraba. So it's like what? Just going back to those things that we have learned before, musharaka, mudaraba, al-ijara, going back to those things. But the thing is that people are what? Pulling their resources together, maybe giving it to a body to manage for them, giving it to a body to manage for them. So if there is profit, then they all share the profit. There is loss, they all share the loss. So this is what sukuk. And in at times, it may be okay, maybe they want to, somebody owns something, for instance, maybe a company. But that company, they want to do a particular thing. They want to do a particular thing. And they want to sell out sukuk like that. So that thing, particular thing that they are doing, they may watch, they may sell out the sukuk and people will buy. And there will be a company or a body that will manage that particular thing. That doesn't mean what? They have become what? Part of the shareholder of that company. I don't know if I'm communicating. A company may want to use sukuk method to carry out a particular project in their company. So, and those who are sukuk holders, what will be part and parcel of that particular thing in that company, not as a whole share, a shareholder in what? In a company. Unlike when we say, okay, there is breweries, there is so and so, there is so and so, people will sell out shares. So those who buy shares, they are what? They are shareholders. They work in the company. In the case of sukuk, they may not, it may not cover the whole company. It may just be a project in that particular company. Meaning if you are talking about that particular thing in that company, that those people, they are like what? Shareholders in that particular thing, but not in the old company. So, and doing this, you have to follow the Sharia rules on buyu, on transactions, for Allah. Now, as I've said, you know, people have asked me concerning this, and what you know is that what al-hukmu ala shay'in fardun ala tasawwuri. When you want to pass judgment on a particular thing, you have to know what you are passing judgment on. So if the details of a particular thing is not given to you, the fatwa that you pass on it may be wrong. So but you have the details, the fatwa that will be on it, what will be in accordance with what is given to one. So far, what I have seen and all I've read, what people have seen, what I've seen in the ongoing sukuk by the FGN is not Islamic. It is what? Two transactions in one. How? Yes, they are going into ijara muntahiya bitamlik. Lease to own. Lease to own. Now there is a body that is representing the sukuk holders. So this body, after they have what, sold out the sukuk to the interested buyers, so they will go ahead to build the road. And after they build the road, they will not hire the road or lease the road out to the federal government for 7 years. And they will what? They will be collecting their what? Their renter, so to say, on it for the period of what? Of 7 years. There is no harm in this aspect of it. There is no harm in this. But in the contract it is said that those who cook order, they must, it is the divorce and undertaking that they will sell the road after what? After 7 years. And on the part of the government is also taking an undertaking that what? they will buy the root. That's another contract. Sell, buy. Compulsory. You have to sell, compulsory you have to buy. This is what a contract, which is called what? Debt. Now we have a contract already, which is called what? Ijara, which is leasing. Now they are combining the two contracts on one contract, in one contract from inception. It is from inception they find it that we are going to lease this thing to you. When you talk about leasing, who will be responsible for the item? The maintenance of the item, who will be responsible? The owner, who is the lessor. So the lessee is not the one responsible. In the case of what you have bought, like Mubarak is what is having a bottle of Coca-Cola with him now. Who is responsible for that? If you like, he throws it in the closet out, he's responsible for it. How it is placed. So because he's what? The owner now. In the case of purchase, the purchaser is what? Is the owner. In the case of lease, the lessor is the owner. Now you are what? Bringing both of them together. You are bringing both of them together. Who will be responsible? Within the 7 years, if something happens, who will be responsible? So they will say what? The lessor. Who are the sukuk holders will be the one responsible. So the lessee will not be responsible. After what? At the end of the 7 years, so it is what? The government that will be responsible. But now they have concluded this transaction from inception. Okay. Is that in the, did you read it? That's what I said. What I read, this was not mentioned in what was activated. So if they made it optional that the contract of lease can continue after 7 years, that is the sukuk holders may decide that no, we don't want to sell. We are still what? Continue with our lease. No. Now I want to rent out this tonight. You want to determine how many years I'm going to leave it to you, or I really want to leave it. It's my property. Are you with me? It's my property. I really want to determine how many years I'm going to leave it out to you. Not you that you watch determine how many years. So it's my own property, not your own property. What I'm trying to say in essence is that this issue is not a new issue at all. It's an issue that the Fiqh academies have discussed. The scholars have discussed. So that you cannot combine two transactions in one transaction. Lease has its own rules and conditions. Purchase has its own rules and conditions. For you to not bring everything, to conclude everything from inception, this will not work. You have to separate them. So, and that's why if they separate them, that okay, after 7 years, this will be. Now, it goes. But on condition that what? They won't say it is binding from inception. When they say it is binding on me to what? To sell. And it is binding on them to what? To buy. And this is what is said from inception. So, take for instance, if I say, okay, this is my daughter. I'm marrying my daughter to you. Is she your wife? Huh? But when you say what? I'm taking your daughter as what? As a wife. I say what? I'm marrying my daughter to you. You say, I'm taking your daughter as a wife. In turn, she has become what? Your wife. How to display? This is called what? Ahdu. This is contract. Al-Jab al-Qabul. Or maybe you say what? I want to marry your daughter. I say what? I'm giving my daughter to Ijab al-Qabul. So, it is binding on me to buy. It is binding on me to sell. This is what? This is Abdu. So that's why the scholars in Fiqh Academy, underwise, they said it must not be binding. That promise to sell must not be binding. So if the promise to sell or buy is binding, the mutual promise is binding on the seller and the buyer, then in that case it has become what, two transactions in one. So you cannot say it is what, it is a lease that you are taking care of only. You have what, brought, purchased and leased together from inception. So this is what the fee council says. But if one of the parties says it is binding on me to buy, and the other did not take that, that it is binding on me to sell. So at the end of the lease period, the second one may say, well, I didn't agree with that. It is you that have what, made it compulsory on yourself. So meaning what? The contract has not taken place. How to get the argument? Now, National Diamond in Saudi Arabia, when this thing first came up, they did not support it at all. They said it was the trick. Conclude the lease, for the years that you want to lease out the item. Then after that, you can come, okay, this lease of a thing is concluded, though. I want to sell this thing, are you interested in buying? How much do you want to sell? Then you can go. But for you to what, to start talking about from inception, for you to start talking about from inception, so it's like what, you want the person to be interested in that thing, but the lease is just a cover-up. How to explain? You are not really selling that thing. So you are not leasing it, you are interested in selling it. But you want to use that lease as what, as a cover-up. So that what, the person will just be paying what, money to you as what, lease. The person will not see it as what, is something that belongs to him. So you collect money for this. Those who introduce this higher purchase of the thing, they introduce it because they wanted to guarantee their money. Because they know that if they lift up something, maybe people, they destroy those things easily. So are we going to reduce this thing? Okay, let us say we are going to sell it to them. That after a year of it becomes yours. So with that, they'll be able to maintain it, they'll be able to do this. So that was how it came. And what, they put exorbitant prices on what, on the list, more than the normal price. Somebody who knows that ordinarily, if somebody wants to leave a thing to him, he won't get it, he won't take it. But he will take it because he has heard that what, after some years, it will become what, he was going to do. So if the person now fails along the line, what they do, they collect the item from him. And that will be the end of it. They won't refund him anything. They won't give him any compensation for that. So despite the fact that what, they took much money from him, they will still take the property away from him and they will not refund him anything. So they go ahead to sell it to another person. So this is the way they operate the higher purchase of a thing. So for us to say, okay, it is permissible, it's not permissible, you have to look at the contract. So what I saw from what Dr. Bashir sent out is not in line with the positions of the Fiqh Academy, is not in line with the position of the Lajna Daima. Yes, it is in line with the position of Tardawi. What they sent out agrees with what? The position of Al-Qardawi. Qardawi believes that what? It is binding. That is binding from inception. And some of the so-called Islamic banks and the like, they are looking for what? They are looking for cheap fatwa. That's what? That we suit their suit them. So and that's why most of them, they go for fatwa of people like Al-Qardawi. Or if they want to maybe take a Sharia board or Sharia council or things like that for their, so they take those who incline to the position of people like Al-Qardawi. So this is not a new thing at all. It's something that has been discussed by the scholars and positions have been established. So Allah. It does not matter, for instance, that okay, I'm renting this thing from you now, but I'm going to pay twice in a year. Doesn't matter. It's just like somebody is renting an apartment and he tells the landlord that, touch, I'm going to pay twice in a year. No harm in that. But how much is the lease going to be? That is the renter. How much is it? So this they have to agree upon, so that it will not lead to something of garret. It will not lead to something of garret. So when you tell me that what the lease is so and so, for this year, and before the year goes out, you are telling me that we have to review the lease again for that same year. No. If you say it's for 7 years, for 7 years. If the lease is, let's say, 100,000 every year, and we have entered into an agreement for 7 years, so you shouldn't come to me to say what after 3 years that I think we have to review that thing again, because when we enter the contract in the first instance, it's for 7 years, and we have entered into it, you cannot change it. But if you enter that, okay, the lease is what is for a year, then that of that year goes. You want to go into the second year, you can review it. That's okay, so of 100,000 is 120,000 that we are going to list it out to you now. How this is clear?
Now, the agreement will put on the wall and against it in between because I'm going to take the item from you. Then you go, if you actually take it there and your balance is for there, I'm not going to sell the item from you there. I'm going to take out my order and give you back to there. That is something that you have to do. And the third one is somebody who knows that you pay his account and he's been charged sometimes I've been deducted from his account regularly. And also at the end of the month, probably this thing has been deducted also. The lease is possible for the person to be actually deducted up to like 10,000 of my money. And at the end of the day, the credit bill is 10,000. I think the balance of
Now, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalam ala Muhammad. Let me start with the last question. Somebody who is operating a savings account and the person is being charged some amount for some services that they are rendering to the person. At the same time, the person is being credited with some amount as the interest that has accrued on the money that he has put in the bank. Can the person try to reconcile between what he has been credited and what he has been debited? Can he reconcile, and whatever balance is left, then he will pay that out, taking it out of his money? These are two different things. If the bank charges you for anything, they charges you for something that he the service is ended to you, is different from what they have credited you with. If they credited you with an interest, you have to take that out completely. Then the one they charge you is for the service they render to you. And that's why I said there is nothing wrong in you giving your borrower, the one who has borrowed money from you, in you giving your borrower. There's nothing wrong with that. I borrow money from you, and you, the lender, you are still giving me. No, but the problem is when the lender, the borrower is given the lender. That is where the problem comes. That is what is called the riba. So you cannot balance it that way. You have to give out the money that they have credited you with, and you have to watch. You paid your own money for the services they render to you. That was the third question. The second one, somebody who is interested in an item, but he doesn't have money, he now approaches maybe a bank or a seller to get that item. The item sells for cash. It sells for, let's say, 100,000 naira. But if one is going to pay in installments, it sells for 120,000 naira. The person at the end of the day agrees to buy it for 120,000 naira. According to most scholars, in fact, some people claim that ijma on it, there is nothing wrong with it. That, okay, these things we are going to pay now, 100,000 naira, but we are going to pay later, 120,000 naira. As long as what, you separate on one of the two agreements. So, okay, I'm paying later. You go over with the commodity, this, the scholars say, well, there is nothing wrong with it. So, now you are not paying in installments. Then one night defaults. One is unable to complete the payment. The seller now comes to take the item away from one. The best for the seller is for him to give us fresh price. But if the person says he can't wait, yes, he has the right to take the item and sell it. So if you sell the item, he takes away his own money. So if there is anything left, he has to return it to us. If he does that, then there is no harm in it. So the second question, there is nothing wrong with it. Now the first one. Now rent to own, lease to own, hire, purchase. You are saying the same thing. Huh? Now when they say rent to own, some will say what? Okay, you pay what? Rent for some years, for 10 years. Then after you have completed the rent, it becomes yours. It becomes yours. They won't take anything from you. That's one method. Another method is what? After you have completed the rent, you are going to pay very little amount. Very little amount. That's another method. The third one is that what? After you have completed the rent, then we are going to sell it to you at the market price. At the market, that is the market price at that time, the value of that item after the time that you complete the payment of the rent. That's another way. So all this way, what is important is this issue of what? This undertaking. The undertaking that we are going to sell, I'm going to buy, must not be binding from inception. If it is binding from inception, then it is what? It is riba. It is two transactions in one transaction. Is that clear? The what? It must not be binding. It must not be binding. But if it is not, in the case of you are not paying any other thing, you are not paying other thing, that's a different thing. That constitutes what? Riba. It's a gift. Are you with me? If I say, okay, this thing is going to be rent for so and so years, but after the completion of the rent, it becomes yours. You are not paying anything. It becomes yours. That means it is riba. Now, if I promise to give you something, it may be what? It may be permissible. So these scholars are not harsh on you if you are not paying anything. But if you are paying, that becomes what? It becomes a state if you are paying. But if you are not paying anything, so this is what? This will be the iba. It will be gift. So meaning, what is happening now is that the person is collecting rent from you for that particular thing. He only promises you that what he's going to give you. So if I say, okay, I'm giving you this book, I'm giving you this book, and you say what? I'm collecting it. As long as what, you have not collected it, it has not become what? yours. So no am, because it's not min rukudi al-mu'awadat, it's min rukudi tabarru'at. It's part of what? The contract of donation. Not part of what? Contract of, what do they call it? Commutative contract or so. That you are what? You are going to pay something to get it. No. So we consider the first one, the other one, that okay, is they give you as something of what? Gift. So I may promise to do something, to give you something, and you also what? Promise to what? To take it from me. So if it doesn't happen, this is not considered as what? As transaction, because it's not transaction of money. It's something that has to do with what? That has to do with gift. So now, sorry. Okay.
Let's say two people are doing like that. The person that has been to give that the eye before the end of the payment for the eye, and then the confessor of that person now say, okay, I've already promised that we are not going to know that. So what happened last day?
Yeah, it's not. He has not collected it. So what they are dealing with now is what? He is rent. So meaning he is ready to what? To continue with the rent. That is to go into the rent. He is ready to what? To continue with the rent. So what they are dealing with now is what? Is rent. As for the case of Hiba gift, so it's not something that is, we won't treat that of gift and purchase as the same thing. They are not the same.
They are not buying debt from one another, their father or their professor in life, they are not buying debt for one
another. No. They are not buying debt. It's just like when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu gave Aisha radiallahu anha the opportunity to get some debt, so to say, from one of his fans. But Aisha delayed a word in blocking that thing till Abu Bakr was about to die. So Abu Bakr now told Aisha that it is what the time, it is late. If I die now, it's going to be something that you inherit, you share among yourself. So if you are taking that thing before this time, it would have been what? Yours. So why he had given her before, but for the fact that she didn't take it until what? Until that time, she cannot claim it that maybe our father promised to give me so and so. Now, even if he promised to give you or he had given you, did you take it? If you didn't take it, so you can't bring it up anymore. Okay. Now.
In a transaction whereby the buyer is not paying, you cannot have the buyer is not paying. Is going to pay back the agreement that the merchandise remains with the seller until the payment has been made. Now, along the line, the buyer changes his mind that he's no longer buying, and as such, what has been paid to the buyer should be refunded. The seller has to be refunded. Now, at times, some people in this situation, they don't part of the money that should be already 55%, they'll be fully charged, and some of that should be fully now paying. Is that permissible?
Yes, it is permissible. It is permissible. In fact, what is worse than that can be permissible. And that means not giving in anything if they have reached the agreement from inspection. This is called Be'ul Irban. Be'ul Irban or Urbun is when somebody wants to buy an item. The item is available with the seller, but the buyer does not have the money full. He wants to pay gradually, and he says, okay, I'm buying this thing, and both of them, they watch, they agree, I'm selling it to you, I'm buying, and he pays what? Part payment. Please get me right. On condition that what? The commodity is available. So, but the buyer does not have all the money with him. He's paying part of the money. So if he now comes that he's no longer interested in that thing, is it binding on the seller to return his money? It's not binding. This is the view of Imam Ahmad, contrary to the three other Imams. Imam Ahmad, his view that it's not binding. And this is buttressed by the judgment sanctioned by Umar of Allah. One of the Umara of Umar of Allah in Mecca entered into a contract with one of the people in Mecca that they wanted to buy a house or a place at a kind of a prison. They want to use it for prison. Huh? So in that, they now agreed on maybe 400 dinar or so. So the governor of Umar paid part of the money. He now said, if he gets to Medina, if Umar approves it, he will pay the balance. But if Umar did not approve it, that means what he has paid is gone. So they agreed on that. And when they got to Medina, Umar approved it. And so they took possession of that and they paid the remaining money. So if somebody agrees with you, or you agree with somebody that, yeah, once you have paid a part payment, if you say you are no longer interested, we are not going to refund you. If this agreement is what is reached from inception, then in that case, it is what? It is not binding on the person to return the money if this has been spelled out. If it has been spelled out, Allah. Okay. It's not okay. Partnership with such a person. Well, it is better to avoid it, but it's not compulsory. Because Messenger of Allah related with the Jews and the Akaluna, the Sohti, Akaluna, the river. There are people who devour river. They engage in all sorts of bad businesses. And Messenger of Allah took gifts from them and things like that. So if the person is getting loan from the bank, and maybe there is a contract that you want to do, and both of you want to come together, so you are not telling to go to the bank to go and get money. Huh? You are less concerned where he gets his money. So just want to come together. This, there is no harm in it. But if one avoids that, better. But if both of you now agree that, okay, let's go to the bank and this is what, to get the loans in order to execute the business or the project, this is what, river.
In case of a man, the way he's supposed to explain his wife, in case of a woman, maybe breadwinner, how, what's
that? Ordinarily, a woman shouldn't be a breadwinner. She should be catered for and given. But let's assume that the wife is richer than the husband. Huh? So, if the husband does not have, in that case, it is compulsory on the wife to spend on the husband, not because it is compulsory on her originally, but because he is a Muslim that is suffering, so he ought to assist. So not that because they are married, then the responsibility is transferred to her. No, we know the case of Zainab, the wife of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, who wanted to give zakah, and she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu told her that this zakah, that you can give it to us. But to be doubly sure, she went to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tabled that before him. And Messenger of Allah said, what? He said, it is good for you to give it to your husband, because it is what? It is sadaqah. At the same time, it is what? Sila. You are also connecting the ties. You are connecting the ties. So the wife can spend on the husband. not because it is our responsibility to spend. And that we can understand that from the hadith, that she can give a zakat to the husband. But the husband cannot give his own zakat to the wife, because ordinarily he is supposed to spend on the wife, because that is the contract that they've entered into. So Allah wa alam.
So the husband sends for the wife. That is going to die.
No, that is not the contract. They did not have the contract that thought I will be spending on you. Huh? So the kid before the husband. You mean for the wife? No, this, the case of the parents is separate. The parents is not compulsory on the children to maintain them financially, unless if they do not have. What is compulsory on the children to do for their parents is to take care of their parents, to be kind to them, so whatever assistance they can do, assist them in carrying things and things like that, visiting them, this is what is compulsory on them. But if the parents do not have money to take care of themselves, then it becomes compulsory on them. Part of the bill, the kindness, is what for them to spend on them. Because somebody who is suffering, he or she doesn't have, then you say what, you want to be assisting her in carrying loot. You want to be assisting him in doing this. You are visiting the person. And the person is what? He's dying of hunger. What type of kindness is that? And you have what? The money to give to him or her. You are not giving the money. So, automatically, part of the kindness is for one to spend on them in that junction. But this issue of the husband and the wife is a contract. It's a contract that the husband must spend on the wife. This is the contract. So in the case of the wife now assisting the husband just as she will assist anybody, so it is good that she starts with those who are closer or closest to her, like the children, the husband. So in the case of the parents, she has to take care of the parents. What is compulsory on the wife is for her. What is compulsory on the husband is what? Is spending and what? Maintaining the wife. But the wife, she has something that is compulsory on her. Her own duty is to what? Is to follow the husband blindly unless the husband orders her to do what is what? What is wrong Islamically. How it is case? It is clear. So that is what is compulsory on the. Now, the father of a wife tells her, go. The husband said, don't go. Which one comes first? Don't go. The husband supersedes the parents. Once a lady is married, the order of the husband supersedes that of her parents. Is that clear? Unless if the husband asks her not to do something that what Islam asks her to do. Take for instance, the husband says, henceforth, I'm your husband, don't visit your parents. We say no. She must visit her parents. You can't prevent her from what? From visiting her parents. Things that Islam encourages, that Islam orders us to do, the husband cannot prevent the wife from doing that. How this is clear? But if what the husband is telling her is something that is not wrong, and the father has what? The father of the wife has a contrary opinion. That of the husband supersedes that of the parents. Unless if the parents, they are people who take her to, I'm talking about maybe the husband saying she shouldn't visit her parents. Well, because the parents are people who engage in shirk and things like that, it's because of this that the man says she should not go to the parents, then that is justified. But no any genuine reason, just, okay, I have authority over you, so don't visit your parents. She won't listen in that. And if she doesn't listen, she's not seen as what? As a woman that is rebellious on the husband of Allah. Okay.
But there is one clause here that at the end of 7 years, 15.7% of ownership in the game of the school So the word
paid to
an investor. So I want to know
what are they paying? They are paying them
based on the actual amount of money that I invest.
15.47%
after the will be paid. Yes.
So
that's
now if it is renter, no problem. But now the area that problem comes is saying that they are going to buy that thing from you, at the original price, which is the capital. That so it's just like me telling you that come and invest in my business, your capital is guaranteed. Are you with me? Say okay, there is a business that wants to do, but your capital is what is guaranteed. So if they are going to buy that thing at the original price, and they have assured you from inception that they are going to buy it at the original price, which means your capital is guaranteed, since they will be giving you 16.something% every year as what? As your renter. Then at the same time they are going to give you what? The original what? The capital that you invested. So what they have told you is that what? Your capital is guaranteed. So what? That's a very switch business for people to do, and it's what people want to hear. My capital guaranteed, okay, in addition with what? Profit, mashallah, I'm going in. So the same thing the conventional bank will tell me, okay, bring 100,000 naira, as what? We issue out bonds to you, and what? After 2-3 years, we are going to give you your 100,000 naira plus what? Do you get it? What is the difference? Is there any difference? The bonds, they will tell you what? They come and what? Buy bonds. They give you what? Certificate that they have collected so and so amount from you. And they tell you that that amount is what? Is guaranteed. They are going to give you that amount back. And what? You are still going to get what? Profit. The profit is guaranteed. Here they also tell you that what? They will be giving you 16.something every year. Then after 7 years they are going to buy that thing. The same, the price that you put. So, and that's why I said, if they say at the end of the, that they are going to buy it, the market price, it may have depreciated by that time. Maybe when you are investing, you say what? You buy, let's say 1 million sukuk, you buy. By 7 years, the worth of that thing may have depreciated. It may have appreciated. It depends. So now you are dealing with what? Risk. Not something that somebody is guaranteeing you. So this is the problem that a lot of scholars, they are having with the so-called Islamic whatever. So they give it Islamic something, and people rush into it. But somebody who is very good at give issue of finance of a thing, you say, what is the difference? Same thing. Here it is guaranteed, here it is guaranteed. Okay, we can switch to this. It's not in Nigeria, this is not really common in Nigeria. In some places, Dubai and the like, scholars are complaining seriously. But the problem is that these people, they get scholars who are always what? Sanctioning, approving what they are doing. So every company, for instance, now what we have, what? A Sharia board. Somebody does not have time to study what Buyu is all about. Somebody may be able to talk on Salah and the like. But when it comes to Buyu, if he has not dedicated his time to learn about Buyu, The fact that the person has what name in the society doesn't mean what is qualified to talk about what. But they are not interested in that person. They just see somebody that was where people say, oh, she's so is among the Sharia. Ah, inshallah. Allah. And what people just do. Then when the thing crashes, you say, oh, but they say it is Sharia compliant. Huh? Does that mean that the Sharia is not the it's not Sharia? It is the same thing that Allah said what? Yamhaqullahu riba wa yubi sadaqat. But they've given it what? Given it the coloration of Sharia. Sharia is not 40. Sharia is not 40. A lot of people to here in Nigeria, here in Lagos, they've took us all in name of what? Islamic whatever. We all know this. Huh? People have lost billions of millions of naira. Millions of naira on this. We know of somebody who collected his own gratuity or whatever it's called, about 2.7 million naira, and he was advised by some people to also invest, and he invested it in it. When he learned about this, that this thing had problems, the man developed paralysis immediately. A sister that was trying to advise our own siblings to invest in the so-called Islamic whatever. The siblings, they prefer to invest in UBA, GTB and the likes. But no, that is not Islamic. Come and invest it in Islamic whatever. And what? When they invested, everything what? Is that promotion of Islam or what? Are you with me? Is that person promoting, as she promoted Islam with that in front of her siblings? They will tell you, but even in the so-called thing that you say is haram, we are not suffering this much now. So, and that's why I don't think that people are harsh on them. They are not harsh on them. The honor of Islam is more important than the honor of those who are involved in this thing. So these people, they are taking to battle of some what? Some scholars who are just trying to mislead the people. So Allah Allah.
If a man sees his wife coming out
and establishing
someone, and then she takes
her
capital from
something
like that.
A man give the wife the capital to run a business. And there is an agreement that she will be taking care of herself from that capital. For how many years? No harm. As long as the business is functioning, no harm. So meaning if the business collapses, then the woman comes back to us to demand the money. Good. There is nothing wrong with that. SubhanAllah wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.